Well, welcome, John Morrow. Is everything working as it should?
Well, let's just test that out, Tim. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Hey, fantastic.
So glad to have you back. It's another week, like another 6 months.
Yeah.
I've been reading in the newspaper a lot that's been going on in this past week. Some decisions have been made. Some are still pending, and some interesting things happening downtown. I was thinking maybe you might fill us in.
I'd be happy to. First off, can I just take at least just 30 seconds and say, I'm now in this separate room from Tim in the studio. I see arms waving, coffee drinking, phones going, clicks on the mouse. It's just really fun to watch you at work, sir. And you're the only one in the office doing about 10 things at once. Well done.
Oh, it's so much fun, and it's just kind of interesting how well this works, having you in another room, because the proximity is important when you're speaking to somebody and you look at their body language, and you know, we suffer in that a little bit, but we're good.
Should have invested in plexiglass shares before this, because boy,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boy, oh boy, it's coming in handy. Hey, so thanks for that. I can maybe just offer a little bit of insight into kind of where I think we are right now, although I expect there are at least 9,600 opinions to that in town. But maybe those two things just briefly, and then we could see if there's any questions or if you want to take it anywhere else. But yeah, look, it's a big decision week for Jefferson County and those who are local government enthusiasts, or at least you know, keeping track of how things are rolling. We've had a bit of an extravaganza this week and last week. I've already gotten two city council meetings under my belt just this week, and it's only Thursday. We had a regular session on Monday, and then Tuesday a special meeting with the Board of County Commissioners, the Board of Public Health, the PUD, the Port, Fort Warden, Chamber, EDC. It was quite a complex meeting, talking about what a variance application would look like. And I think most importantly, we heard from literally hundreds of residents on what their thoughts are, what their preferences are for either going forward with a variance to partially or fully reopen to phase two or to not. And I'm, irrespective of the decision and the complexity and the challenge here and the kind of painful reality of this all, I'm heartened that people took time to actually make their voices heard. And every single one of those was read by most everybody on those elected bodies. So well done, community. That's exactly what we're going to need moving forward. So from here on, there's a Board of Health conversation today where they make their recommendation based on all the public input, based on Dr. Locke's recommendation. And my read of that meeting on Tuesday was it started off a little fractious and a little bit confusing, and it really resolved in a place where most elected officials of the 16 that were on that joint body group came to some general understanding of a path forward. So I can't judge what the Board of Health is going to do, clearly, until they do it. But my guess is that the conversation is landing more gently than it could, and that we'll have a path forward from them, at least, mapped out this afternoon. Then that goes to the county commissioners who actually serve on the Board of Public Health, among others, and they get to make an up and down decision on Friday. And at that point, that kicks off whether or not the variance will be forwarded to the state for consideration, and it's expected we should know relatively quickly. So process-wise, you know, I think Mayor Sandoval said it best. You know, if we hadn't done process and just raced through and just made the call, those who are concerned about the speed and how we're going to consider reopening would be feeling very annoyed right now, at the very least. So, you know, it was a complicated state of affairs, getting all those groups together, making the decision-making happen. But I think it's the right thing to do to take time and get this one right.
Well, this democracy can be messy. There are, like you said, 9,600 opinions in this town, and that's just in the town, much less the county.
Yeah.
And so having all of you folks getting together and working through us, there have been some vocal opponents lately of staying on the current course or the more conservative course. And I'm sure there are plenty on the other side of that, too. And they all everybody gets to have their voices heard.
Yeah. And I think, like, in the theme, as I sip my coffee here and bureaucracy now, I think you know, this, I'd like to believe, I know this community is above the polarization of a yes and no, whatever the issue is. We're smarter than that. We're more nuanced than that. We like to listen better than getting entrenched in our position. And sometimes our positions change, as you heard from some of the elected members just this week. And I find hope in that, because that means we're all learning, we're all listening to each other. And I'd like to believe the conversation isn't necessarily, is it good or bad to support either health or the economy? That's a false dichotomy. It's really how we move forward through a pandemic. My personal opinion, it's not an option to shutter everything for a year until we get a vaccine. That's not the proposition. Likewise, it's not at all safe and reasonable or morally correct to just blunder right into reopening everything without any sort of real concern for people's safety. So the nuance is how to do both. And I think that's exactly what the conversation became at the elected body level.
Well, there are, certainly many landmines as we navigate this issue. Yeah. I thank you to all of our elected officials for being in this place at this time. It's not easy. I did want to ask you about, I think I read recently, and there's been so much to read, about some ideas going forward about Taylor Street.
Yeah. Well, I think this is very much in line with what we were just talking about. There's the how we do this, and it needs to be carefully considered through each phase. And look, we got to be reasonable, considered, thoughtful. We also need to be a bit bold and courageous, in my opinion. And we're experimenting. And so we're putting forward some temporary changes that are exactly that. They're temporary, they're experimental. And I'll explain what they are, but the philosophy behind it is, you know, are we able to rethink what we take for granted, public spaces that are really ours as a collective community? I mean, the streets aren't owned by a person, the parking spaces, the parks, I mean, that's all community infrastructure. That's all of us. So are they being put to highest and best use? And especially now, can we rethink those spaces so they provide better value for everybody? So we're considering this weekend, so Friday, we'll start rolling out a few changes to test this out. And one of them is, like you say, it's Taylor Street. It's a one-way street. We'll cordon that off just for the weekend so that particularly residents, because right now, you know, we're not anticipating, you know, any change in the governor's order right now where people are meant to stay at home, you know, and if you're a resident, you're out exercising, that's fine. Taking in the sunshine, that's fine. Getting takeaway meals or making trips to the grocery store or pharmacy, that's fine. This is in advance of welcoming visitors back to Port Townsend. That's not on yet. Although I think we all know that some are mysteriously showing up here. But for now, this allows residents a chance to stretch their legs, to have some space, to try this out where you can get your takeaway meal if you do. And that Taylor Street will be designed, you know, cheap and cheerful, but designed in a way to show, hey, this is how to maintain safe physical distance. This is what 6 feet looks like. And right now, with fewer visitors, with less traffic, with a lot of the events that unfortunately have been postponed or canceled, that street isn't as needed anymore for cars. So at least on a temporary basis, it's a good chance to test that out. Same thing with Lower Adams Street. There's a little slice of what I think should be beautiful city park right on the waterfront. It's used as kind of parking spot right now, less necessary when there's fewer visitors to town. So if we can reclaim a little bit of that gravel parking spot right next to the beautiful water's edge and put a couple tables out demonstrating to folks how to stay safely apart, that's a win. And of course, people are going to need more hand washing facilities, perhaps restrooms as well. So we're trying to roll that out, as well as collection of the waste from the waste bins with greater frequency and a few more bins.
I have to raise my hand in support of this experiment. Actually, I'm kind of excited about it. It's something that I've seen so often in Europe. It's fairly normal, although I know that in Port Townsend, every parking spot can be controversial, yeah, loss of a parking spot. But at this time, I was just down there yesterday getting my takeaway, and you could, as Jermaine Arthur has said, you could roll a bowling ball down Water Street and not hit anything. I do have the phone ringing,
hey,
so
excellent.
let me
You need more
this
arms,
person
Tim.
Online. Well, yeah, I'm like an octopus. Here we go. Hello, you're on KPTZ.
Fancy.
Oh, it is fancy.
It's super fancy.
This is Laura, and I'm wondering if John knows, I don't know if this is in the right category, whether the public restroom downtown will open up.
Laura, that's a great question.
For people to wash their hands and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Not just hand washing.
So as I think I heard that correctly, you're wondering if the public restroom, say the Cotton Building, that is a city operated. Yeah. So that has been closed for a while.
Maybe. I know that.
Yeah.
And you know if it's going to open up.
Yep.
The good public service.
Yes, it is indeed. And so I could tell you that in the interim, we have a temporary facility there with hand washing station with water and soap, as well as an ADA and two other restrooms there. That'll
What's
be up.
An ADA?
So for a disability accessible toilet. There are three there. Yeah, so it's not glamorous, I'll just admit that. But at this point, with concerns about safe cleaning, staff safety, that's the route we've taken. However, I could say for sure that we are discussing quite vociferously how we get those facilities back up and running and might be able to take that portable station somewhere else nearby. So I don't expect that to happen as soon as Friday, but that's one thing we're seriously considering, because most of the amenity inside that Cotton Building restroom are touch-free. You know, you can get your soap, wash your hands, pretty much touch-free except for the door. So it's in good shape. We just need to get the staff back up and make sure that we have the proper cleaning regimen to keep it safe and clean for everybody.
Maybe hand wipes for the door.
Yes. These are all under consideration, and things like the availability of sanitizer and hand wipes, the availability of hand washing stations and toilets, even on a temporary basis, are a concern for us regionally. So we're trying to do the best we can with what we've got, but I can completely agree with you. We need to make sure that those amenities are back on a temporary and also permanent basis.
And Laura, I hope that answered your question. You have some pretty horrible feedback, so I'm hoping that John answered the questions that you might have, because this is there's a time when we didn't think about these things. They were just there. Bathrooms are there, and it's kind of that is a good question, that these things that the city just operates, and Main Street has contributed to that, I know, we've taken for granted. We don't anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's good you mentioned Main Street, because they've been real rock stars here. And I think what we're trying to do is not get out ahead of the governor's order, because it's quite clear what we can and cannot do. But I'd like to believe we can anticipate a transition of phase two. And that will be a bit of a game changer, because we will start having visitors here again. And so if we're piloting this when things are more quiet, when we're focusing really on residents, what does it look like to take some of that space and then work much more in partnership with Main Street, although Mari is a rock star and we work really well together. But what does it mean to work in better partnership with the businesses on thinking about outdoor seating and reducing the pressure on what looks to be a 30% reduction in occupancy that's being recommended for in restaurant dining? Can we free that up a little bit by thinking about public space and, dining when it's at least nice out to relieve some of that pressure and work with our local business community? We're not there quite yet, but we could pivot quite quickly to get there.
And again, that phone number, if you have questions for John Morrow, 360-215-7270. So we can take your call online. It occurs to me, actually, and like I said earlier, I'm a little excited about this, and I can imagine that anytime you close a street, especially those businesses right there, are going to have input, at least. What have you been hearing from those businesses? Because frankly, I think the ability to go and sit outside, eat at a good distance from everybody else, and is the objective so that you can buy takeout at a restaurant and actually sit somewhere on Taylor Street, or is that not in the plan?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're able to do that. It just, it's not clear where you can sit. And what I've seen when I get my takeaway is that there's a confusion of, am I going to sit there? Are you going to sit there? How close should we be? And if we can make that easier for people, and you know, frankly, if we could be creative about taking that space and making it come alive a little bit more, you know, there's limited ability for us to do that. We're trying to keep this at a basically zero cost level, except for staff time and just a few extra ads to make it work with more restrooms. But, you know, chalk goes a long way, you know, and drawing big chalk circles of 6-foot radius and coloring them in and having some fun with this, maybe finding a way to get ideas from those using the space would be a lot of fun and relatively easy to do. So, you know, at the moment, it's to make it easier for those who live here to be able to properly, you know, get the distance as they're doing that. But I expect, you know, at least some point in the near future, we'll have some degree of restaurant and business back on. And it'll be a new normal. We'll have to think about how we use our space differently to keep each other all safe. So this is a tilt toward that.
So big plans for Taylor Street. That's really the heart of this town. Also, of course, over by the community center, if you're uptown, we have two hearts of this town. But that
we do.
Definitely is one. And I like it. I'm really looking forward to this. And my observation, at least, is that people in this town have been good about following guidelines. There's always outliers, but I think that we've got to hand it to the people here in Port Townsend and Jefferson County as far as that goes. If we know where the circle, the chalk circle is, I'll be in it, you know, and waving at somebody else in another chalk circle. Pretty simple.
I think you raise a good point, Tim. I mean, I think this is just one experiment in one location that's temporary, you know, and so anything permanent or even longer would need to come through the council decision-making process. And clearly I've had dialogue with the 7 council members, mayor on this. But this isn't the only place where we should be thinking more creatively about our spaces. You know, there are probably multiple beating hearts to this town, location-wise, and we can try different things in different places that might not be, you know, necessarily in conflict. And then I also think, you know, your question about businesses, you know, every business is different. And so I think I just want to acknowledge that some restaurants, for instance, want, and we've talked with this, a huge hat tip to the police team that has a really great relationship with all the restaurants, and particularly Wendy Davis, our community services officer, who's actually had conversations with a huge number of businesses downtown about what their needs are. Main Street's done surveys. We've really tried to keep on the pulse here. But, you know, it's different if you're a retail store, you know, and you might rely on that parking in a different way than people sauntering and wanting to have a nice dinner. So we want to make it, you know, there's going to be, I've mostly heard supporters to this, but I understand that there are some who are going to be fearful of the impacts and what this might mean, and we need to work some of that out.
And Rocky Friedman, if you're out there, take up window for popcorn. I'm going through withdrawals. I need some Rose Theater popcorn, and I need it soon. So, maybe a little something there to get some of that Rose Theater popcorn would go a long way in making me and my wife happy.
There you go.
And my wife's happy. Everybody's happy. And I don't want to take time out of what you had on your mind to speak about. But something that kind of rises to the top for me is the drive-in theater and what's going on there and what your thoughts are on that. Any thoughts on chance of that reopening? I know that's, you know, I mean,
I think I want to hold back my own personal thoughts on this one and make sure that we've got the right direction from our public health officer and the Board of Health on what kind of variance application we're putting forward. And then we could probably speak a little bit more about details.
Is that something that's being considered by the Board of Public Health?
I believe it did come up in their public conversation not too long ago, and I will confess that I don't remember if anything was resolved about it, but I know it's on people's radar.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else on your mind?
No, it's just a blank slate, Tim.
It's yeah, there it is.
No, it's just good to yeah. be here. No, I mean, I encourage the creativity to come forward. I mean, if there's anything I seem to understand about this community, it's just full of creative, you know, active, passionate people. And right now, that's going to be super valuable as we think about not just, you know, kind of the immediate, but as we think about long-term recovery and resilience and how we do that as sort of an all-hands-on-deck exercise.
Well, the weather is great. We missed the Rhodey Festival, and I was looking at the Leaders article and the photos, and Ruby Fitch posted some pictures of going way back and realizing what a big deal that was to this town. Mm. And it's not till something's gone that you realize how much you miss it. So, yeah, lots of reasons to reflect here as the sun is out and we cherish these times here in Port Townsend, and we miss people. Mm. We miss being around loads of people, lots yeah. of people. I'm talking yeah. concerts on the dock, numbers of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough pill. We'll make it through. It's going to happen again, and I'm glad that you, the city council, everybody that is just been obsessed with pulling us out of this are coming up with these creative ideas. Thank you. That goes to the city council also.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming and allowing people to ask their questions. Not easy sometimes.
Love it.
I know you do. And unless there's any other calls from the public, and I don't see any lights flashing, anything
else
on your
music.
Mind? Let's go back to some music.
Let's
okay?
listen to some music, folks.
Yeah, someday you and I have to team up. We got to do a music show, John.
That'd be fun. Take me back to my university days where I had a radio show. I noticed you were playing a little David Grisman on the way in, and I kind of forgot that I used to listen to David Grisman. And just the other day, turned it on and thought, yeah, that's right. This is great stuff. And my kid was dancing around to it. It was a lot of fun.
David Grisman, you know, when I first started in radio, which was a long time ago, I think I was 20 in Nevada City, California, and the bluegrass DJ quit unexpectedly. And I put in a request, and the question was, what type of music are you going to play? And I said, new grass and blue wave. And that's all I could. And I didn't expect to, and they gave me a spot, which in a moment of temporary insanity, because what I didn't realize is that it was a very traditional bluegrass audience. And I knew next to nothing about traditional bluegrass.
Sure.
David Grisman was my, he navigated me, his music brought me into, because he has these tendrils that go out into jazz, into traditional bluegrass, you name it, David Grisman has been there. So he's I owe a lot to David Grisman helping me through that difficult time. And
excellent.
I've been playing him ever since,
excellent.
And that will continue. Good. Thank you, John Morrow.
You bet, Tim. Thanks.
City Manager,
so much.
Okay. Port Townsend.
See you next week.
All right. Bye.